All right, can you all say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Is God good? Say amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand praise. Woo! I just got to tell you, the young lady over there was wrong. She said that she was from the best corps, but I got to tell you, I'm from the best corps. We're from the Chicago Inglewood Corps. Is that right? That's right. We're the best corps. Hey, but you know what? It's really cool to be back to Chicago. This is my home. My home corps is the Chicago Temple Corps. And hey, Chicago, too bad there's nobody from Chicago. Oh, we got one person. There's my niece. She better said something. All right. I want you to know that I got to tell you something. I am not a long preacher. You can be excited about that if you want to. It's all right. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. You give me at least 15 minutes. Give me 15 minutes. And when I'm done in 15 minutes, you need to promise me one thing. And that is, while I'm talking, you're listening. And while you're listening, you're not listening to me, but you're listening to the Holy Ghost. All right? Because I believe that God never fails. Amen? It's all right to say amen here. It's okay. God never fails. And so if God is not going to fail, somebody in this room is going to hear something that they need to hear. So if you're expecting to hear something, you are about to hear it. And it's not going to come from Captain Dale. It's going to come from the Word of God. Is that cool? Yeah. Is that all right? 15 minutes. After 15 minutes, if God's speaking to you, I want you to get your butts. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I want to make sure I can say that word. I may say another word that, well, anyway, whatever. But get your butts up and come on down, all right? Because God wants to do some beautiful things in your life. Isn't that cool? We serve an awesome God that's able to do some exciting things. I'm excited about getting into the Word. So come on, let's get into the Word. Let's pray first. Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that in your own special way that you will speak. Father, I need you to take Dale away. Because if you leave it to me, Lord, I'll give my opinion, and that'll get nowhere. Father, so my heart just totally breaks. I just need you to do your thing. You do it so awesomely, Lord. So will you just speak? Just speak, God, so that we'll hear you, and we'll know that it didn't come from me, but it came from you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I think when we talk about holiness, the one thing that I have discovered is that we have a misconception of sin, all right? We think, whenever we think of sin, all we think about is we think of, lying, stealing, cursing, talking back, talking about each other, and that kind of stuff. Am I right? You can say yes. That's okay. I mean, that's really what we think about. Whenever we think of sin, we think of that. But as I was going through this, I want you to know that sin is deeper than that. It's deeper than that. And when I think of sin, I think of the fact that of two things that I'm going to talk to you about tonight that the Lord laid on my heart. And I think the people in the car next to me thought I was crazy because I was going over this in my head, going over and over again. And I'm tripping off this. I'm really tripping. And I know this lady was looking at me weird because I was like, and I'm serious. I was like, this is real because I want you to get this. I want you to get this message. I want you to get it. Turn with me first to Romans, the sixth chapter. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Romans. Everybody knows this scripture verse, Romans 6. I think everybody knows it. Romans 6, the 23rd verse. If you know it, I don't even think you need to turn to it. And let me tell you another thing about me. I'm a product of Chicago schools back in the 70s. I can't read. I'm terrible. I'm a terrible reader. So please do me a favor. Don't make fun of me if I can't read, all right? Is that cool? All right. Look at what it says. Romans, the sixth chapter, verse number 23. So, it says, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit of your reap as a result. Verse number 23, for the wages of sin is what? Come on, somebody. Yeah. You didn't sound like you should. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The problem is that it's the wages of sin, death. I think when we think of death, I'm trying to think of how do I explain this to you that you would make an understanding. I think we skirm over the word sin and not realize how serious sin is. Sin is some serious stuff. It's not just that little, I almost said crappy. That's what I want. That little crappy stuff that you think. It's deeper than that. Sin breaks the heart of God. Oh, man, y'all ain't get that. You didn't get that, did you? It breaks the heart of God. God is disgusted by sin. You don't believe me? Check this out. Ooh, there's some good stuff here. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. Watch this. Watch this. Genesis, the sixth chapter. I'm not going to be all, I'm not going to teach you all. I'm sorry. I think you know some of this stuff. But Genesis, the sixth chapter, starting off with the first verse. This is the story of the flood. Now watch what happens. Verse number one, it says, when man began to increase in number on the earth and the daughters were born of them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of the men were beautiful and they married them. And it sounded like everything was lolly-da, excuse me, and everything was good. Then you drop down to verse number four. See what happens in four? Don't tell me what that word is. Genesis, the sixth chapter. How do you say that word? Nephilim? Is that right? We're on the earth in those days. And also afterwards, when the Son of God went to the daughters of men and had children of them, they were heroes of old, men of renown. Now watch what happens. Check this out. Verse number five. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? You're not getting it. God saw how wicked the world had become. Check what happens next. And then every inclination of their heart was only evil all the time. What are they saying there? He's saying here, the only thing that man could think about doing was sinning. That's it. That was the only thing they could do. They eat it. They sleep. They did all of that. They didn't do anything but what was wrong in the eyes of God. And guess what? They didn't give a rip about it. I think many of us may view sin as just this little pity little thing that doesn't matter. But watch what happens with God. What does God say to them at that time? What does God say? Number six. The Lord grieved that he had even made him. Y'all get to feel that? In God's heart, God even did, he wished he would have never even created him. He hated what they had become. He hated the sin so much that it broke his heart to even create them. Oh, y'all ain't feeling that today. You see, sin is deeper than just lying and stealing and cursing and all of that. It brings God to the point to where he can't even stand it. Even to the point to where he even said then, man, I wish I wouldn't have never even done this. Why would they do that? I love them so much. I give them everything that they need. Everything that they could have is theirs. And then they turn their back on me and they don't give a rip about anything that I've done. It breaks the heart of God. He grieved. He pitied over the fact that he even did it. That scripture should just blow your mind. Watch what happens. We're going to keep going. Verse number six. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Well, y'all ain't feeling that, are you? Maybe if I can put it this way. Think of your best friend. You got them in your mind? Your best friend. And your best friend turned their back on you. No, I don't mean, I ain't talking about they just talked bad about you. But they did you wrong. They did you wrong. And not only did they do it behind your back, they did it in your face too. Now, that would tick you off. But just think how God felt. Think how he felt. It said that it broke his heart. It said that it brought pain to him. Sin is deeper than just doing something wrong. It disgusts God to the point that he wished it, at that point, he wished he'd never done anything. Or maybe y'all ain't feeling that. But for me, I do. For me, if I'm going to live a holy and godly life, I need to realize that what I do, if I sin, I'm breaking the heart of God. And God doesn't like it. The other thing I want you to know is that God can't even look at sin. He can't even look at it. Here's one of the most painful things that Scripture ever talks about besides this. It's the story of Jesus on the cross. Everybody knows about Jesus on the cross, right? Y'all remember that, right? You remember that Jesus and we already know that his best friends had deserted him, and he was all by himself. And we already know that he was beaten, he was slapped around, he was cursed at, he was done it. We know all of that. But I want you to see something that happens. Turn with me now to the book of Matthew 27. I'm going to stick to my word here, 15 minutes. But I want you to feel what I'm feeling here. Matthew 27. You got to say amen. You got to say amen. Amen. Verse number 45. I think one of the most painful scriptures there is. From the sixth hour into the ninth hour, darkness covered all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus did what? He cried. Oh, y'all ain't got that. Jesus cried. And what did he cry out? He cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" For a moment in time, Jesus took on the wages of our sins, and he felt the pressure of the fact that when we sin, it separates us from God. Oh, y'all ain't getting that. I don't think you're getting that. If you knew that sin broke the heart of God, and if you knew that the way that when you sin, it separates you from God, would you even sin? Or do you even care? When I looked at that scripture, and every time I think of that scripture, how painful it had to be for Jesus to say that, to feel that emptiness that we have. And I wonder if, I don't want to go there yet. This is what I want to go to. First of all, we know that sin does what? It disgusts God. He just can't stand it. Remember, because he said that he could not, he grieved his heart, that he even created man. And then it separates us from God. Jesus felt that pain by saying, "Lama sabachthani? Why have thou forsaken me? Where are you? Where are you, God?" But I got some good news for you. You don't have to worry about that, because there are two things that I want you to know. First of all, Jesus already paid the price for you. The sin has been paid for. If you and I, because of the sins that you and I have committed, the wages of sin is death. God, Jesus has already paid that ultimate price for you. He's already done it. But the gift of God is eternal life. What does that mean? That means that separation don't have to happen any longer. You can have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. You can. But it gets even better. This is my favorite stuff. There's something that we call a holiness experience. Say holiness. There's something about holiness. I just love that word. I love it because when somebody finally explained it to me, it made me excited. And I hope it makes you excited too. And that is that because you have an experience with Jesus Christ, you get to know him better and you get closer to him. And then you have the power that when sin comes your way, you don't have to sin any longer. Come on, get excited about it. You don't have to anymore. That's the cool thing about God. Yes, he does get all frustrated. It breaks his heart that we sin. He knows that, and he knows that it breaks his heart because if we sin, we're separated from him. But he doesn't want it that way. He wants a personal relationship with you. He wants to chill with you. He wants to talk with you. Come on, somebody. He wants to know you. He wants to have a better relationship. He wants to go beyond just saying, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Paul understood this. Cool scripture, Romans the 7th chapter. Paul said, I don't know why I do the things that I do. Whenever I try to do what's right, I end up doing what's wrong. And I know Paul ain't the only one that's done that. But I love it because he said, praise be to God. I got somebody that can help me out. It's Jesus Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, tonight, that you do not have to live a life of sin any longer. You don't have to sin. You can be set free. You can be delivered from sin. And you know, you can say no to it now. Man, when somebody told me that, that made me feel good because it was one of the biggest curses you can ever. Me, I could curse you up and down. I remember as a kid, my godmother ticked me off. And I called her I can't tell you that. Now that I know I can't say in church. But I told her off. And what she said to me, Dale, you're going to be a preacher one day with that kind of a mouth. But that's cool. She was right. She was right. But I used to be one of those big cursers. And I was a liar. Boy, I could lie my way out of anything. And I was a thief. And I was able, because I was a liar and I was a thief, I can always blame somebody else and get away with it. I have to tell you that even when I was I have been an officer since, oh my goodness, 89. Since 89. But can I just share something personal with you? When I, back in 1990-something, I don't remember when it was, and I was still an officer, I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. I had a good friend who was a drug user. And now, I'm not going to tell you that I would use drugs when I was an officer, because I wasn't. I wasn't that stupid. I'm just telling you that. But I had a friend. His name was Nate. And then I became more of an enabler. Do you know what that means? I would be the one so that to keep my friendship with him, I would use my own money so he can go and get high, so he can come back and he would need me. I mean, I was getting into some stuff. And the most important thing for me was not preaching and not being a minister or anything like that. The important thing for me was to make sure that he got high so that I can be used by him, so I can help him, so I can feel like I was somebody. And it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. Then somebody told me, I knew that at some point I would need to clean up my life, because then as that was happening, I also started getting into back into lying. Because I didn't want people to know the real truth of what was going on. I got into stealing. I did it all. But somebody told me one day, and I remember saying that I'm sick of living like this. I don't want to live this way. Somebody told me and gave me this scripture, and I want you to turn to it. It's in the book of Jude. Jude only has one chapter, This is what somebody gave me. Jude, the 24th verse. This is what somebody gave me. Do you see it? If you have your Bibles, if not, I'm going to read it to you anyway. To him who is able to keep you from falling. To him who is able to keep you from falling. And maybe, thank you. I think a few people heard that. To him who is able to keep you from falling. There was somebody there that can keep me from sinning. I wanted to know who that was. I wanted to be that. I want to stop sinning. I wanted to stop doing the same thing over and over and over again, hoping that maybe I could break the cycle. I couldn't break the cycle. I couldn't do it. In treatment, recovery, people who are in recovery, they say you do the same thing over and over again, hoping for the same results. Nothing will change. I hope you're hearing me tonight. Nothing will change until somebody told me that he is able to keep me from falling and present me faultless. Wow. I was blown away by that. And I said to them, I want that. And I remember saying in my apartment, in my house that I lived in, I remember saying to God, God, whatever this is, I want it. What does that mean? What do I have to do? I want to be holy. I want to be sanctified. I am sick and tired of sinning over and over and over again. How do I get it? And the Lord challenged me with three things. First of all, you need to give up your friends. I'm cool with that, God. I'm good with that. I can do that. So I told my friend Nate, you know what? We got to stop dealing with each other. You know, because I don't think I'm helping you get better. And you need to get better. Oh, by the way, Nate has been clean for over 10 years now. Amen. But it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I believe that was the power of prayer. But Nate's clean from cocaine 10 years. Second thing he told me to do, that you need to be willing to give up the situations that you find yourself in. You can't go places that you used to go. I'm cool with that. Cool. And then he challenged me with something else. I need you to step out of officership. Now, I want you all to understand what I'm saying to you, because you need to grasp this, because I'm not telling anybody you shouldn't be an officer. So don't freak out. Don't want the DYS to freak out. No. But he needed to do something in my life. You need to be willing to give up officership. And I said to God, God, I am willing to give up everything because I want to be holy. I want you to sanctify me. I want to be holy. And let me tell you what God did. He took this little black boy from the west side of Chicago.
Yes.
There you go. See, that's good. Took me right out of Chicago. Got me, not only did he gave me some good jobs while I was out for a while, gave me a beautiful wife, three wonderful children. And then a couple of years ago, he said, well, Dale, it's your time now. I need you to come back. And then he blessed me with cores after cores after cores. Just a ministry after ministry that I can't even imagine that I would ever be myself in. And I'm saying that to say to you that when you turn it all over to God, things will happen that will blow your mind. You will find yourself doing things. You will find yourself doing things that you never imagined you would do. You will find yourself being in places and saying things. You will find yourself seeing people on the bus and hearing them say, Praise the Lord. Amen. You find yourself doing it. You find people asking you about God, and they don't even know why. It's because of what they call the Shekinah glory, because they see Christ in you. They know it. And even the words are saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to say that." They don't even know you. Because I want to tell you, when you have an experience with God beyond just asking Him for forgiveness, but having a holiness experience, things will change in your life, and things will happen that will blow your mind. And I wanted that. And I said to God, "I want that. You don't have to give me anything else, but I want you to sanctify me, and I want you to sanctify me now." And I want you to know it was in that room, in that apartment in St. Louis. It was in St. Louis that I finally gave it up to Him, and God sanctified my heart, and I'm a different man now. If you don't believe me, ask my family. I'm a different man now. And guess what? He's still working on me. He's still changing me. And I want that for you too. I want to know, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received Him since you believe? Have you turned your heart and your life over to Him since you believe? Hey, I kept my promise. 15 minutes, didn't I? I kept my promise. Now it's your turn. I want to know, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you asked Him into your heart yet? Because why? Because when you sin, God is disgusted by the sin, and it separates you from Him. We saw that in Scripture. It wasn't Dale. It was Scripture, right? He also wants to sanctify you. So my question to you, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you said, "God, I'm willing to give up anything and everything for you"? And I want you to know that He will change you from the inside out. You will never, ever be the same again. I'm going to ask the praise team if they'll come up. I like that beautiful one song. I want us to sing that, because that was my testimony. That's my testimony. He has made something beautiful out of dust. I was dust. I was trash. And He's ready to do some things in your life. Now, I kept my promise. And I believe tonight that there's some in this room that need to do one or two things. Or maybe three. One, maybe tonight you need to ask Jesus into your heart for the very first time. Two, maybe you need to say to God, "I am ready for you to do whatever it is to take, because I want to be sanctified. I want to be holy." Or three, maybe you're carrying some burdens that you just cannot bear. You're holding on to some stuff that you just don't feel like you can handle. I want you to know that God can help you through that too. So as the praise team comes and as they sing, I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to invite you to come forward, and I'm going to invite you to come and talk to God and say, "God, I want you to make something beautiful out of me. I want you to sanctify my heart. I want you to forgive me for the sins I've committed. I want you to do a new thing in my life today." As we sing that song, you don't even have to wait until the song comes. You don't have to wait until they start singing. You can come now. Get up out of your seat. Like I said, get your butts up and come on. Let's do this. Let's get our hearts and our lives. Let's get it right even now. Is God speaking to anyone? I know He is. Who will be the first one to come? Come and let's do some praying. Come on, let's do this.